just 2 hours' drive from Phoenix on Highway 87, 18 miles north of Payson, brings you to Strawberry and Glacier Glide, Arizona's best tobogganing area. Open weekends only, Saturday and Sunday. Go tobogganing today. It's a great winter sport for all the family. Just $1.25 admission for a whole day of fun, children under six free. See you at Glacier Glide, Arizona's newest and best toboggan area in Strawberry, Arizona. And keep tuned to KHAT for the latest Glacier Glide snow condition reports.
Looking at a sports score from last night, this was kind of a surprise. Arizona State took it on a chin for the second night in a row last night, as the Sun Devils lost to Utah 72-64 in a Western Athletic Conference basketball game that was played in Salt Lake City. Utah trailed at halftime but put on a strong pressing defense and a ball control offense to take the lead midway through the second half. That final score, once again, it was a Western Athletic Conference loss for Arizona State last night, as they lost the ball game to Utah 72-64.
We like Villa de Paz because the homes are in a new community for adults 40 and over. No children under 18.
And because it's peaceful and private country club living. The patio homes at Villa de Paz go all around a beautiful golf course, which is now open for play.
And the recreational clubhouse serves luncheon, cocktails, and dinner.
Villa de Paz homes are priced as low as $18,900, with our choice of two or three bedrooms.
Wasted activity is to organize that action in such a way that it points itself toward a given goal. This organization need not necessarily be strict. This organization, by its very nature, needs to be flexible. It needs to be adapted to the particular need that presents itself originally. We have talked about a single need thus far. However, we find that there is no single need in adult education. Need one begins to acted upon when need two arises, and then need three, and then need four, ad infinitum. As these needs begin to be acted upon, we find a course of action which begins to be relatively common to each of these needs. We also find that there are certain methods of thinking through as well as acting on a problem in order to derive the desired results. When we combine the courses of action which have lent themselves to successful problem-solving techniques, there emerges a common ground on which we can work. Hence, the second answer to the question, how does Paul Bergevin's A Philosophy for Adult Education strengthen your position? Paul Bergevin has taken the past actions which people have taken and combined the problem-solving techniques into a philosophy for adult education. In this country, he first stressed the nature of our society, pointing out that freedom, individual freedom, to carry out a fulfillment of life became the greatest responsibility we had. Then he pointed out the need for adult education. And in this, he was able to go through an idea that education is a lifetime process, that it is not something that you get just a little bit of and then hope it will do for the rest of your life. Paul Bergevin defined the nature of adult education. Under systematically organized programs and random experiential learning, in these he pointed out that adult education can be either good or it can be bad, but adult education will be carried on. He then proceeded to organize the goals of adult education, general and specific, and pointed out that the general goals of adult education should advance the citizen in his social order, as well as pursuing a limited type of direct technical knowledge. In the structure of adult education, which Paul Bergevin then proceeded to outline, he talked about the necessity of all institutions working with all kinds of people, and to involve them in a social and economic life which would improve and perpetuate a better culture. He then attempted to put together a program which stressed the following: that number one, educational programs should be voluntary. The needs of the learner must be discovered, considered, and met. Number three, the resources used should be appropriate. Number four, situation-centered or problem-centered learning is the most meaningful to adults. That the programming of adult educational activities should be a cooperative endeavor. That persons concerned with an adult educational program have certain expectations about it and then work toward those expectations. stressing heavily that we are concerned with teaching people. Subject second, person first. And that we must continuously work toward the goal of keeping a program in the environment in which it exists, but at the same time to remember that we must develop the intellectual portion of the learner to extend horizons and to expand views. In a final analysis, he says that, quote, adult education should make a continuing attack on ignorance, disease, superstition, and enslavement of mind and spirit. Its purpose is to liberate people, to provide creative opportunities for utilizing their talents and energies, and to help them learn to play their roles as dignified human beings and as citizens in a society in which they can have some control of the social forces operating on them, and to show them how to do all this with the intelligence and decorum that befit human dignity. Taken from page 170. Question number two. Select three of the books studied in connection with this course and briefly describe how each contributed to developing a broader concept of adult education. The first book chosen is The Two-Year College, A Social Synthesis, authors Blocker, Plummer, and Richardson. My purpose in reading this book was to determine if the basic philosophy presented would allow for an adult literacy program within the concept of the junior college. The book itself, while not specifically delineating the adult literacy program, did point out in many ways that the program was a possibility, and that perhaps for a certain group within our society who are functionally illiterate, it would be a program which would adapt itself. The authors pointed out the willingness of the two-year college to train those people who were slightly less equipped to handle college-level work than were other institutions of higher learning. They also stressed the willingness of the two-year college to adapt itself to the various needs of a community. Thank you. with education being the key to social mobility and occupational competence, the denial of educational opportunity, particularly to those individuals of the middle class, is contrary to the philosophy of adult education in a democracy. The authors then went on to point out the various types of programs which had been instituted in the community college, ranging from non-credit courses desired by specific individuals to company courses, courses designed by a particular company for its employees, and then to courses which would give credit, which would be transferable to the student planning to complete 4 years of academic education. The most important of these, having to do with adult education, was that it gave the adult, who at the time he quit school, did not see the necessity for further education, an opportunity to complete successfully at least 2 years of formal education. The next most important was the opportunities it gave an adult to increase his knowledge in his chosen field on a systematic basis. And thirdly, it pointed out the need for the community college to sponsor those programs which would definitely better that cultural part of a community, which in many American areas is so sadly lacking. As an example, it gave book reviews, forums, art, religion, and various forms of training which would enhance the intrinsic values which are placed on a society. Another book which I read was a series of essays titled American Ideas About Adult Education, 1710-1951, edited by C. Hartley Grattan, Grattan, published by the Bureau of Publication, Teachers College, Columbia University, New York. This book completely changed my outlook about adult education. I had felt that adult education was rather new in the field, and that the field of adult education was more of a pioneer than the other major fields of study. After having read the series of essays, which include Cotton Mather, Benjamin Franklin, Claxton, Josiah Holbrook on the Lyceums, John Lowell on Lectures for Moral and Intellectual Improvement, Edward Everett on Libraries, Peter Cooper on Religious Motivation, John H. Vincent on the Chautauqua Movement, W.R. Harper on Teaching by Correspondence, Thomas Davidson on Education for All, and the American Society for the Extension of University Teaching on those unable to attend a university, Lester Ward on the Sociology of the Diffusion of Knowledge, the Rationale of Vocational Education as a part of a Commission on National Aid to Vocational Education, Michael John, the return to the book, Adult Education, Whose Responsibility, the President's Commission, Toward National Organization, an article by the American Association for Adult Education and Adult Education Association of the USA. I felt then that I had a history of adult education which was far better, because these were articles written at the time by the people who were involved, not a look back, but at the look at the time that it was going on. And in this I felt that the adult education movement was one of the oldest and one of the strongest movements in the United States. I also noticed there was a lack of good organization. Now, by a lack of good organization, I do not mean that there was a lack of organization within the framework of the specific goal of the specific educational institution at the time, but that there was a lack of a coordinated effort, and that it was left to 20th century philosophers to put together this organization in such a way as to make it meaningful to the people who were involved. After listening to the discussions in the classroom regarding the necessity for special training in adult education, special training for teachers in adult education. I seriously doubted the amount of special training which would be necessary. This, of course, I believe, was due to my past experience in working with adult groups, as well as the success that I had had without special training. I then picked up Harry L. Miller's book, Teaching and Learning in Adult Education, and it opened my eyes. Harry Miller is Associate Professor of Education at Hunter College at the University of New York. And in his book, he presents basically the difference between the child's learning and the adult's learning. He points up these differences in such a way that a person cannot help but view them in a different light. He talks about special perspectives of the adult, perspectives that a child does not have, crucial learning conditions, and in this he talks about the six conditions for learning as well as the cognitive approach, small groups in the classroom, small groups in residence, the informal discussion, the adult learner who learns primarily through the use of programming, lecture series, workshops, mass media, and then he talks of evaluating in his last chapter, measuring the effectiveness of the method. Now, in measuring the effectiveness of the method, I think in essence he hits many of the target areas, but I think he misses some of them very drastically. He talks about defining objectives and gathering evidence of behavior change. He talks about applying principles, measuring interests, testing the ability to make rational judgment, measuring beliefs and attitudes. But I do not believe that you can really judge the effectiveness of any particular method or of any particular model or of any particular philosophy of adult education until after you have been able to observe the behavioral change which takes place, not over a short period of time, but over a sustained period of time. He talks about this, but only briefly. He still has in mind the measuring of adult education on an immediate basis. And this, I feel, is something which we can do, but I think the only significant behavioral change which we can see is that behavioral change which is lasting. And all in all, I was very excited with Harry Miller's book. It gave an insight into those things which I didn't know. Question number three, what do you consider as the major trends in adult education which may realize culmination in the next two decades? The first of the trends in adult education which I see is probably one which is not really thought of as a trend. It is a trend in the thinking of the people themselves regarding education following the formal educational experiences. This trend is a trend toward education from the cradle to the grave. The past experiences of students with educational media is gradually becoming better and better as new techniques and methodologies are being used in the high schools, grammar schools, and colleges, which makes learning more of a challenge than a bore. As the younger generation comes up, they cease to think of education as being something distasteful. They remember grammar school, high school, and college experiences with a favorable memory. It is this favorable memory which creates the climate for the trend of education from the cradle to the grave. The second major trend I see, which tends to have an impact on the total educational picture of adults, is the differentiated methodology and curriculum. Adults do not basically have the same purposes in going to school as do the younger children. With the younger children, it is a learning of a culture. As a person becomes an adult, his primary purpose is improvement and betterment of a culture. It is this improvement and betterment of a culture which creates the difference in methodology, the difference in the amount of creative thinking, and in the cognitive learning practices of adults. I feel in the next 2 decades we will have the necessary staffing to handle effectively the adult education program. By staffing, I mean teachers who are trained specifically in the field of adult education to work with adults in the programs where the need arises at a particular time. The third area I see, which may possibly not culminate, but will definitely make giant strides toward the culmination of, is the recognition by the various institutions for a coordination of effort toward a common goal. this common goal being the development of a total individual within each of the curriculum patterns set out by the institutions. I see giant strides being made toward this. I believe it was initiated by various companies. It was then taken up by the military, and now is being expanded by many, many institutions. And this is the total development of the man through the use of or through education. As an example, in the military service, any course which is taken by military personnel will be paid for on the basis of the grade which is made. If a person receives an A, total tuition is paid, a B, three-quarter tuition, a C, half tuition, a D, quarter tuition, and an F, no tuition. This is an incentive plan. This incentive plan, however, is not used by many of the organizations of private enterprise. It is, the incentive is to have your tuition totally paid by working for the company. And many of the companies are offering programs for the development of cultural interests within the company itself. When these curriculums are not specifically designed to enhance the output of the company itself. As an example, at one institution in Phoenix, a reading program is offered to employees. At another institution, a literature program is being offered to employees. One institution will pay for any college course taken at the junior college or at the university. And there are no stipulations within this institution which provide that a student must take such and such an hour or such and such a series of courses or such and such a subject. I do not feel in the next two decades that we will see a culmination or a stopping of any of the major trends in adult education. I see that the trends themselves that I have observed, listened to in class, and have read in the report, New Trends in Adult Education from Elsinore to Montreal, and the editor in this particular book was A.S.M. Helly, published by UNESCO, copyright date 1962. I see by these trends that none of them will reach total culmination. Each one will continue to grow and to expand until we have a field of people throughout the nation, throughout nations and throughout the world who are striving for individual excellence. They will never, in reality, achieve all of this major goal. They will, however, through the next 20 years, take many advancing steps. These many advancing steps will produce a better world in which to live. Question number 4. Enumerate the forces which have affected the development of adult education in your area of special interest. This is the junior college. The forces which have affected the development of adult education in the junior college, specifically at Glendale Community College, have been as varied as the community in which we live. The initiating force was the generation of a two-year college to prepare students for advanced degrees, then at what was known as Phoenix College. Following this, Glendale Community College, working in close association with the Maricopa County Junior College District, received a boost through the legislature, which permitted the financing of a junior college district and the expansion of that district to include 5 colleges. Glendale Community College and the forces which have developed it have been intermingled with those 5 colleges on a district level. In looking quickly at the forces, we could enumerate them in this way. The farm or agricultural block has been responsible for instituting a program in biology and in the related science fields having to do with farming on a technical basis. Major electronic industries have lobbied successfully, and courses are being offered at the community college which are designed to train people both for beginning work at these institutions as well as updating knowledge in their particular field. The primary force remained that of giving a student 2 years of a 4-year degree. The Continuing Education Department has worked very closely with related fields of business in order to update business machines practices, Fortran computer, computer programming. They have worked carefully with local athletic associations to promote the leisure time activities of the general population. Much of the work of the college in the continuing education field has been by demand of a general public to give those courses which would be a betterment to individuals in helping them fulfill personal needs. As an example, the social science department in the evening college is one of the largest departments, teaching philosophy, ethics, history of religion, etc. Major contributing factors have been the demand of business and industry to upgrade the general educational level of their employees. And as that general educational level is attained by their employees, they feel they are a more satisfied individual working for them. Remedial courses in mathematics, English, reading have been instituted for the continuing education student who did not have an opportunity to attend an institution of higher learning when he was younger. The institution or the beginning of these courses have not always been without problems. One of the problem areas which did arise was whether police science could be taught and whether it should be taught at the junior college level or at the community college level. The people who had a desire to maintain strictly an academic function of the community college opposed this almost as bitterly as they opposed the beginning of voluntary ROTC training. In a final analysis, however, the people responsible for teaching these adults in the police academies came to the college and taught these specialized courses. As we look at the community college today, we find it is a combination of two fields of thought, and that these two fields of thought can work well together. One is that the community college should serve the needs of the total community. The other is that the community college should maintain an extremely high level of academic excellence in all fields. It does not appear on the surface that these two ideas would have a great deal of conflict, but by the very nature of the courses and seminars which are offered at the community college. The levels of background, education, and academic experience are so varied that they must by necessity be accepted, both on a high level of academic excellence and on a low level of academic excellence. The differentiation being that with one group, you are looking toward further education toward an academic degree. With the second group, you are looking only for further education as a means of self-improvement. The junior college, I feel, is beginning to fulfill the needs of the community. Gradually, it will expand its services as the needs of the community are recognized, and as it expands its services, it will become more and more of the community college it was designed to be when the legislature passed the bills creating it.